Welcome back to the podcast show 139, and Celine Pilch returns after a few months to focus more on the work that she does, mixed media cyanotype work, and the exhibitions that she's been participating in, and the wonderful creative world that she moves in. Hello, happy new year, and welcome to another year of the Lensless Podcast. It's 2024 and show 139. We had show 138 in maybe December. I've forgotten now. Gary Owens, who makes the wonderful staged pinhole sets, dioramas with little cardboard cutouts, creating stories, references to film noir, to detective stories, 1940 things. So if that interests you and you haven't already listened, go check out show 138. But focusing on show 139, I'm really delighted to welcome back, as promised, Celine Pilch for part two of a bit of a chitter-chatter. Hello, Celine.
Hi.
Hello. So you're still in Paris, but you've been jet-setting over the Christmas period, I think.
Yeah, jet setting, that's a good word. yeah, I've been traveling. I've been in Paris until end of November, and then I went to Vienna to the Analog Photo Festival. It's called Rotlicht, Red Light, to give workshops and to meet some heads of the lensless and analog photography scene. And that was really exciting because... Well, that was also the aim, to meet people, because I love this exchange and it worked well.
So tell me a little bit about the Festival of Analog Photography. Is that something that's held every year? Can anybody go?
I think it's the third or fourth edition, and it's organized by Association for Analog Photography in Vienna. And it's a big exhibition, like a main exhibition in the Academy of Arts of Vienna. And then you have like satellites in whole Vienna, like little exhibitions, events, guided tours, and of course, workshops. And it's very well organized. It's a very cool festival.
Is it a little bit like what's the one in France? Arles?
No, it's smaller and it's really more experimental and focusing on analog photography. And also, as Vienna is close to Czech Republic and more to Eastern countries, it has this touch of Eastern topics. I don't know if you can say it like this, but. I was surprised because for me, Vienna, I didn't locate it that much in, Czech Republic and in this corner. Very interesting, especially after Paris, because Paris is Paris, it's like glamorous and perfect. And this was more rough and more urban and more self-made, like, very, very nice festival.
So the venue is... Festival of Arts, you say, Academy of Arts.
Yeah.
And so had you always attended to visit? Were you invited? What were you doing? Were you giving workshops?
Yeah, I was giving workshops. Like, I had a phase in summer in Berlin where I was like, okay, what am I doing in autumn? Like, I have to get plans now. And I was sending emails then to festivals. And one of it was the Red Light or the Rotlicht Festival. And I was proposing pinhole photography workshop and also, I still don't really have a name for it, the analog screenshots, like when you put photosensitive paper on the screen of your tablet or your phone and then you develop it. And and then I was for 1 week in Vienna. It was the first time I was visiting Vienna. And visiting all the exhibitions, exchanging with the heads of analog photography scene. There was also a little party, so it was a good place to get in touch with people. And I also participated in a workshop of Andreas Scholz. He's doing a lot of chemigrams with like plant-based chemigrams, and I was participating in that workshop. That was also really nice. And it's also like the Academy of Art is a really nice place. It's a very old place, and they have a very nice laboratory. Yeah, I was very lucky.
So what sort of numbers did you have turn up at your workshops, and what were you specifically doing? You mentioned the using the tablet as a light source
Yeah.
for coating the paper with cyanotypes or with cyanotype material or other stuff with it.
No, it's just black and white paper, and
Okay.
then you put it on the screen for like 2 seconds, depending, of course, on the light brightness of your picture. But it's very short, and then you develop it. But you can also then play with movements. You can do double exposure. You can play with the positive and negative. You can have, for example, the positive and the negative at the same time in the picture. And usually the people come up with their own ideas. Like, for example, there was one guy, he brought his camera, like it was a digital camera with a little screen on the other side, and he took pictures of himself, and then he was like confronting the sensitive paper to this little screen, and then going through these images very quickly. So it was, at the end, when he developed it, it was like more or less a black square because it was overexposed, but it has different things showing up. It was kind of a little bit magical. It was very interesting, his approach. And then there was another girl, she was studying experimental arts in Linz. She came up with images with like organic structures, and she was very happy to experiment with this procedure.
So is it laying? I'm just got images of laying things on top of the paper like you would with sologram type things, you know, or whatever they're called.
No, like the way I do it, I place my screen on the table. It's looking at me.
Right.
And then I take, yeah.
This is great radio, by the way. We should do a YouTube discussion, really, but anyway, carry
Yeah. Yeah. So screen is looking at you. It's laying on the table, and then you take the photo paper, and you let it touch the screen for like 2 seconds. It's really like one, two, and then you develop it.
So the screen is your almost like your negative, so it's got an image.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, I see. I
Yeah.
misunderstood. I was thinking you were just using it as a white light source.
Okay. And like a
Right.
lamp.
Oh, that's
No, yeah, you can do that too, yeah, of course. But yeah, and what we also did was like long time exposure of black and white paper on the computer screen. Like you stick it to the screen, and the screen is like turned on for 30 minutes. And then you have these, like lumen prints, like this a little bit pinkish pictures. And then you fix them. And one of the guys of the in the workshop was really impressed by that. He was experimenting with that. So I had a really nice group also. It was three people, so easy.
So were the people who came, were they dipping their toes in the analog world, or did they have were they like people discovering it for the first
Yeah.
time because all things analog is very kind of hip and trendy, isn't it?
Yeah,
You know,
yeah, yeah.
or were they like old farts like me?
No, I mean, there was an old fox, but who was not in touch with analog photography for ages. He had a printing company, like a very big printing company, I think, where he was selling but digital prints. And so he was interested in this experimental approach. And then, I mean, the girl that was studying experimental arts in Austria, she was already in touch with that. And she was also in touch with chemigrams. And the other boy, no, they were, this group especially was really already into analog photography. The boy who was there also, he had done like apprenticeship of photography before, like intensive classes. And that's why they came up with very elaborated ideas already. And this is, sometimes when I have these kind of workshops, I'm like, oh man, they already know everything I could tell them. So I hope they're not disappointed. But at the end, it was very nice and they were very happy because that's it. If you do a workshop, it's not always just about learning something completely new, it's also to be in the group, to get new input. So these ones were very, independent also then.
It's about the experience, isn't it? It's about the moment. It's about learning from each other, interacting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, doing something together. And for me, like, this is also why Vienna was so nice for me. Also, being in touch with people who are doing the same crazy stuff as you, like feeling alone on this earth. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
So, you met Justin Quinnell as well, former guest of the Lenses podcast way back.
Yeah, and I was hoping to meet him because I saw his things on Instagram and he seems to be a very crazy head. So I was hoping to meet him and I met him and we had a beer together. He was giving a pinhole workshop too with his holograms.
So just remind listeners who, I mean, listeners, if you go back in the archives, I honestly can't remember the show number because we hadn't rehearsed this conversation, funnily enough. We had, Corey and I spoke to Justin several years back, so you can. Stop talking, I think. So it was a very easy podcast because we didn't have to say anything. But he talked about his orphologram. So tell us about those and being a victim of one.
Well, yeah, the holograms is well, I didn't do an well, yes, it was an hologram. No, yeah. No, you're right. Well, it's so we're having a beer can that is prepared in the way that you can open it. And then you put in black and white paper so that it's really like covering the whole surface inside the beer can, so the paper is round. And then you have a little hole, like a pinhole, which is not covered by the paper. And then what he did was, we had to open our mouth, and he was shooting with two flashlights into our face. And then well, that was the first thing we did. So then you have a picture that is like completely dysmorphia, if you want. Like, you have your, in my case, I had my mouth and my nose, and then it's like a round sculpture, something like this. It looks really weird, but very interesting. It has a very interesting shape. And then there was a second thing. So again, the same setup, beer can, paper inside, round. And then he was shooting on our face with two flashlights again. And then we had to carry the camera in front of our face and walk around for 5 minutes to register the lights around us. And that was very, very nice. Very nice images. And I'm sure you can find them on his Instagram. He posted them.
Yeah, I'm sure
Yeah.
I'll take a look later and folks can go and look. So you're getting your close up of your nose and face, and then you're getting superimposed on top of that your
Yeah,
the 5 minutes of walking around, I guess.
it's like you have your face, and then you have on top of it, like, how could you say it? Like branches, because it's the spotlights that will
Yeah,
that will.
they do. They make like little light streams, but all wiggly, don't they?
So very, very nice pictures. And for me, what I got to know there was I also need a flashlight, because that's the thing with pinhole photography. You don't have so much time.
So was he using the kind of flash lights that you'd have on cameras, or was he using studio strobe that.
Yeah, no, these little flashlights that you can have like in your pocket, and you had two of them. Yeah, so that's my next thing. I will buy flashlights because I really like to take selfies or like self portraits and parts of my body and things like that. And then, yeah, if you don't have enough light, or if you don't want to sit naked outside in the street, then you need to have a flashlight if you don't want to sit like an hour or something like this.
Well, you don't want to really, just like you don't really want pictures of your nose, you don't really want to sit outside naked, do you, if you can help it? Not
Yeah,
in Pa not
no.
in the middle of Paris. Maybe you can buy.
No. And now and tomorrow I'm going to Cairo, so there's even impossible to sit outside
Oh, okay. Well,
naked.
we'll. I've just made a note of talk to Celine about Cairo. That's tomorrow, is it? Wow.
It's tomorrow. I'm excited. Yeah.
So just going back to we'll talk about Cairo. Just going back to Justin. I'm sure I didn't ask him this because I wouldn't have had the opportunity. But with those orphanograms, those close-up images of the face, what's he getting at, do you think? What's is it because they're just fun and they're distorting reality? Are they knocking down perceptions of of how we look? Is he thinking that deeply, do you think, or is it just because they look weird?
That's a very good question. I didn't think about that. Well, he is into the theory and philosophy of pinhole photography too, because
He
he was
is,
doing
yeah.
also a speech before, like a talk. So I'm sure that there's a deeper meaning than just it's funny, but he seems to be someone who also really likes to do funny and yeah, weird things, no?
He,
I don't
sorry, go on.
know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he does. He does. He takes part in lots of festivals and
Yeah.
activities and workshops all around the Bristol area. It's well worth checking out on Instagram if you're not familiar with Justin Quinnell's work. I remember him describing on the podcast a football match that he organized. I think he does this regularly, so he gets a bunch of children together, who are attending, like a village fete maybe, or an outdoor event. It's not necessarily photography orientated, but he has he breaks them down into two teams, and he puts like some kind of small household plastic dustbins bins on their trash cans on their heads with a pinhole in, and the pinhole is projecting an image like a camera obscura inside the bin, and I can't quite get my head around the orientation of it, but the child has to navigate his way around the football pitch because they're playing football, you see, so they're soccer, they've got a soccer ball, and they have to try and play soccer using these pinhole obscuras with bins over their heads as a means of just seeing where they're going. And of course they're all bumping into each other and going in the wrong direction. But of course it's getting folks to think about the way images are formed in the eye, I guess, and on the retina,
Yeah.
and then linking it to a curiosity about, well, about lensless photography.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's really deep into that. I mean, he's been doing that for ages, I think, now, and he also has a dark room and is doing a lot of projects with children and educational things. So it's really his universe.
Yeah, if I can work up the energy, maybe invite him back on the
Yeah.
show to do an update on what he's been up to, because it must be 3 or 4 years since we've had the wonderful Justin on. He makes pinhole images using large industrial dumpsters as well, doesn't he? Like those big, you find them out the back of restaurants, or big big dustbins on wheels.
I mean, that's really, that's work, you know, like this is
Yeah,
not something that is just coming to your mind and you're like, oh, let's do that, because this really you have to get that done, no, also to develop the paper then and
Yeah, it's a work of labor and love, and I much admire all experimental photographers and the work you do. It's not something that it's not a rabbit hole that I'd want to go down, because I think it I'm not sure I'm that creative or experimental, but I do much admire the work that you do and others. So on your Instagram, I think probably so folks listening, you can go to Celine's Instagram obscura underscore Berlin, and I think the last post is this cyanotype and drawing combination poster called Exhibition 12th of December. Is that the Vienna one, or is this in Berlin?
No, that's Berlin. Yeah, this is an
Yeah.
exhibition I started in Berlin mid of December.
Okay, so
It's
this is after you got back from Vienna, and this was already planned, was it? Is that?
I did Paris and then Vienna and then Berlin,
Right.
but I already knew that there's going to be this exhibition like maybe 2 months before. And I started to produce stuff for that exhibition because it's in a bar. It's like in a really nice cocktail bar in Berlin. And I knew that I had to produce something more like bigger because I was working very like A4, A5, like traveling size, you know, something that I can put in my suit easily. And so I knew like, okay, if it's a bar, it has to be huge and colorful because otherwise people don't see it, you know, it's not a very bright place. And it's very like big cyanotypes that I produced when I was in the French Basque land. It's like 50 on 70 centimeters. So for me, that's big. It's the first time that I was working with cyanotype on such big paper. And it's combinations of wax crayon, acrylic, watercolor, and yeah, actually everything I could find, like just to make it look interesting, nice. I don't know, it's like, you know, impulsive work.
Yeah, so on your Instagram, I can see tags to the Experimental Photo Festival with things that look like amoebic life forms with lines and blobs and things. Are there other example other photographs on here from the Berlin?
Exhibition.
Yeah.
There's, for example, yeah, this bubbly thing. Let me have a look. Yeah, there is this, like, the one that is like with these bubbles and bluish, pinkish. Then you can see the ones with the orange slices also.
Oh, I saw those. Yeah. Okay. So
Yeah.
that's from the bar. That's very colorful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very colorful. All of them are quite colorful, yeah. Oh yeah, and then also the one that has like these kind of fish eyes.
Are you getting a bit, oh, what's the, art movement that has fish and clocks in? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The guy, Salvador Dali.
Like I have never been into surrealistic
Surrealism, yes.
art, but
Yeah.
this is what comes out. You know, people are telling me it looks like this and that, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's true, but why? You know, like I never decided to make something like this. It's just happening. But maybe it's also because I feel like the surrealistic expressionism artwork at the moment is more or less fashionable also. It's what I feel. And so maybe like unintendedly, but about consuming media, this comes into my mind and this is what I'm producing.
Yeah, so I watched a really interesting program. People might not find it interesting, but I found it really interesting on the BBC iPlayer. I don't know if you get access to the BBC iPlayer outside the UK, but it gives you access to these BBC made documentaries, art documentaries, and there's a series called Arena, and one of them was a British comedian who did a whole half an hour, 40-minute program on Dadaism, DADA, and of course that was a bit of a. I didn't know much about it. I was heard of the term, but it was a bit of a precursor to surrealism, and started in, I'm sure it was Vienna. Sure it was. It was a
Yeah,
cabaret. It
yeah.
was a cabaret bar in Vienna, around about the time of maybe in between the wars or after the First World War. Bit of, and it was a bit irreverential. So there would be performance artists making mockery of governments, of institutions, of things that we would otherwise get sucked into. You know,
Yeah.
and I think it the whole movement kind of fell apart, and I can't remember why, but it kind of did. And then some of the luminaries who were involved in Dadaism then got into into surrealism. But all of it is seemed to be, to me anyway, to question the world around us,
Yeah.
and kind of poke fun at it really,
Yeah,
you
and
know.
also the conservative approach to what is art, you know, like in that time you had like the academies, and then doing art means to make a perfect portrait of a person, like very naturalistic paintings. So, and then there's someone coming and telling you, no, I can just make a collage out of, I don't know, advertisements, or you
Yes,
know, like it's
exactly.
like breaking the rules like 1000% and saying, no, we have our own way of producing art, and not because it's not naturalistic, or it still has it's still art. And this is also, I mean, this is what happens at the beginning of the last century, that everyone wants to break these rules and get out of this prison of yeah, the conventional art schools, I guess.
And so I suppose swinging it around to pinhole photography and more, well, when I say more traditional pinhole, I mean more straight pinhole photography, you know, taking just images of things. You know, most people will go and either make or get themselves a pinhole camera, and they'll go and plonk it in front of something and
Yeah.
get a, you know, an image which is different to the norm of analog or digital photography. So it's kind of you know, pinhole photography is opening up those same kind of ideas for somebody just used to quote straight photography as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't know actually, what is pinhole photography to most of the people. For me, it's really a tool of experimentation, and it always leads me
Yes.
to something else. But
But you do the you're, you touched on the selfie work. Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, I'm just looking at a picture of your hands, I think, crossed over, you know, quite diffused. That's the one that just leapt at you, and then there's another one of half your face, with the other side all really bleached out. So I mean, that's using a homemade pinhole camera.
Pinhole camera shooting on paper. It's I'm always shooting on paper. I never experienced shooting on film. And
Never?
no.
Hmm.
I
Well, I suppose
should, yeah.
it keeps the cost down though, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't know, it's less sensitive. It's I feel like I'm not developing film also, you know, like I know how to
Yeah.
develop paper, and this is what I do. But yeah, I mean, but it's good because, you know, I still have a lot of years to live, so, and there's still so much to discover. For example, shooting on film in my pinhole camera. So it's good. But yeah, these pictures, which are a little bit blurry with parts of my body, I did that in France in autumn, and I built a camera with instead of a hole, it's a cross or a triangle as an opening. And if you look at the pictures, then you can see that there is this, yeah, this is why they are blurry, actually. It's not because I've been moving. It's because yeah, with this cross opening, you cannot get a
Yeah, well, you're not interested in determining the optimal size
no.
pinhole drilled out with a laser, to give you a pinhole image which is virtually indistinguishable from a lens picture in some cases, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it would maybe depend on the project I'm working on, but I'm more interested in what happens if I do this and what happens if I introduce a tomato in the camera. You know, like I'm maybe more like Justin trying to break the rules, and yeah, I'm very curious. So, but
Did we?
yeah, I mean, there could be also the moment where I'm interested to have a perfect picture of something, but I'm more in,
Yeah.
I would like the camera to participate in the picture in the way, in something that I cannot really control, that I can kind of like maybe introduce, but then there's something coming out that I was not imagining, but I still like it. That's the perfect result for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. I really do. Did we speak about? I had a conversation with somebody. I think it must have been you, Francesca Woodman. Did we speak about Francesca
Yeah,
Woodman and her work last time?
I'm a big fan, yeah.
Yes, I thought we must have spoken about that, because that whole idea of traditional images of ourselves, you know, she sort of broke that apart, didn't she?
Yeah, and she was also very curious, I think. Like she's produced a lot, like 1,000 images. Like her archive was like so huge, and she died very young, you know. So that
She
means
did.
she produced
Yeah.
a lot. So, like there was a big desire, a big research behind her work. And yeah, she was also, I think, interested in this magic and the power of transformation that analog or like photography, analog photography, maybe more, can do, you know, like. You imagine something, then you could initiate it, but then the photographic process is adding something that you might not control 100%. And it's also a tool to get behind the visible, and maybe also a very good tool to get into a world of emotions which is invisible but feelable. To express this, yeah, this in between, you know, which you might also express with painting, but photography, as it is so concrete and so realistic, is maybe a very good tool for this imaginary world. And I think she was in that world. That's what I feel
Yeah,
when I look at her images, yeah.
I think you're probably right. Yeah. So, what's happening in Cairo?
What's up in Cairo? Well, it's gonna be hotter than here
Hmm.
and sunny. What's up in Cairo? Well, I'm supposed to work in a place that is called the Dark Room Cairo with a man who's called Abdel Wahab, who's doing very nice alternative process photography. As I understood, he grew up in a photo studio that his father had in the streets of Cairo, so that's how he got introduced into photography. And now he has a dark room in Cairo where he's giving workshops for very classical things like black and white development, but also like yeah, more alternative process like gum printing, of course cyanotype. And I think he's a master. It feels like he's also someone very curious and wanting to discover different processes. So yeah, a friend of mine put me in touch with him, and I was asking him, yeah, would you be interested to come me to come to give you a hand for workshops, and I would like to learn from you. So this is what I will do, and
How
yeah.
long are you going for? How long are you going for?
2 month.
And what? So the practicalities of such an arrangement. Are you staying at his premises, or?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, I will have I have been in Cairo at the beginning of last year, so I have
Yeah, I remember you saying.
so I have a room in a shared flat, so I have my life and my stuff to do there. And then I
Right.
will see how much I will be busy with his photo lab. Like, it's more like we had a chat and we had a call also, and we were both interested in working together, but there is not more than this. So I feel like it's gonna happen once I'm there. We will see what we will do. So in Arabic you say inshallah, we will do something nice. But yeah, I'm looking forward to get to know him and get to be introduced in his experimental world. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's taking you into the first couple of months. Will you be working on any other personal projects while you're there, like doing more of the studies, the selfie studies?
I started to do some plant-based chemigrams.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about those, because we've had we have touched on chemigrams
Yeah.
on the podcast before, but tell listeners a little bit about a chemigram, what it is.
Well, a chemigram is, if you want, you could call it a painting on photosensitive paper, but you're not painting with colors, but with chemicals. So then you will kind of like create different structures and, yeah, melting structures with a developer and a fixer. But then you can also add plant-based chemicals. Like I was participating in that workshop of Andreas Schultz, who is working a lot with that, and he was doing like a developer made of eucalyptus leaves, so it will dye the paper black, but it takes more time and it's not the same black as a developer. So like the classical chemistry is the more efficient one. But of course it's toxic and not so good for the environment. So he was introducing into alternative chemicals you can use. So what you basically do is you use the chemicals and you will drop them on your paper, and then you can go over it with a brush or let them melt into each other. And what I was experimenting with a little bit these days was I was doing like paintings or like colors out of red cabbage and onion. What else? Oh, avocado. So then you have like it's quite watery, it's quite liquid, but it's very in the case of red cabbage and avocado, it's reddish. And then you put it on the black and white paper. You use old black and white paper that I have anyway stuck. And then you put it on the paper, and then it's gonna react together. You can also put it into the sunlight then again if you want. Then you can add a lumen print on it. And then instead of fixing it in fixer and normal fixer, you put it into salty water, like very salty water. It's like 300 grams of salt for a liter. And then you leave it for 3 days and then it's fixed.
Yeah, it's a traditional form of fixing, isn't it? Using salted, heavily salted water. I think in the early days of Fox Talbot, and he used salted water
It
to
just
fix his
takes so much
images.
time, though.
Yeah, but it opens up a whole world of possible. This kind of image making lends itself to. I was going to say sort of communicating with the landscape, but because it's very organic, isn't it? And I saw I think it was a reel I saw somewhere on your Instagram. I've lost it now, of you effectively making a cyanotype out in the open with a leaf and then developing it in a stream.
What does it mean developing in the stream?
Well, you're washing it, the paper in running water.
But also with cyanotype, you can add more different. Like I did also a cyanotype with beetroot juice. Like you have the cyanotype paper prepared, and then you add beetroot juice, for example, and then you have another kind of blue coming out.
You see, you haven't got time to do traditional photography. I think you know, you've got an avenue you're going down. It's very experimental. It's very expressive. It's partly commenting on the world, partly commenting on our traditional view of things and breaking down those barriers. But you don't want to go and learn darkroom printing, do you really? I mean, when have you got the time for
No, yeah, but I would like to. I would really like
that?
to do also the traditional way, and this is maybe my fear of the technical side, because sometimes I'm quite slow to understand these things. Like, I'm not so good in mathematics. I'm not a good engineer, I think, you know. And then I'm always escaping doing my, you know, soup stuff and just mixing things and playing around like a little girl. But I feel like I would like to get more in, yeah, introduced into the classical stuff too, just to be able to use it when I need it. You know, it's like, for example, it's also, you can compare it with, you, if you learn to make drawings in the art school, then you learn to make it properly. So the face you're drawing would look like the face in front of you, you know? And then once you know how to do it right, you can do it differently. But I think it's also good to know the classical way. It's good to be familiar with both sides.
I think that's really, really on point. You know, I think it's a really good observation. It's about having a thorough grounding of the basics, and then, well, either sticking with them if you want to, or, you know, once you understand how it's, quote, supposed to be done, whatever that means, but then you can just take it away and add your own thing to it. But it's at least you've got an understanding of the science and chemistry behind it all. But you could probably learn a little bit of this when you know with your the dark room in Cairo that you're going to.
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I think
I thought.
he's very good in these also classical techniques. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
And then, of course, once you've got traditional analog photography in a darkroom, but then that opens up into you know you're a little bit into cyanotypes. But you mentioned gum printing, and there's a whole world of, quotes, alternative printing methods out there for you to learn and bring into your work stream.
Exactly. I think that's it. You should just try to have all the options, you know, like,
Well, look, as ever, when I speak to when I twice now we've spoken, and when I have folks on here who are just doing such different things, it's very, very inspiring. I find it both inspiring and a bit challenging at the same time, because in my head, I'm a photography and lensless photography and darkroom work. It's my creative outlet. But then I see the sort of creativity that other folks like you are doing. I think, well, actually, what I'm doing isn't that creative, really.
No, you know, you should not think like that. No, I think everyone has this approach
I
to
know,
do the
I
things,
know.
and that's also, I think, like, the most important thing is like that you feel comfortable with what you do. I mean, it's also good to come out of your comfort zone from time to time, but I think the most beautiful thing about whatever kind of work you do is that you're in the flow, you're working, and you're feeling it's you know what you have to do. I don't know if it is for you like this in the dark room, but like, you're just following what is in your mind, and that's the most important thing, I think. And not looking at how other people, I mean, you can learn from other people, that's very important, but you should trust your own decisions, you know.
I try to, Celine. I try to. I mean, I learned photography in the days before the internet, of course, and back in the late 1980s and mid 1980s even, and I learned from reading books. I still get tremendous inspiration from looking at images, either in art galleries or in books. I'm an avid consumer of photo books, and I think it's just a wonderful way to be inspired and to learn and to see where your photography might go next, or your lensless work, or your chemical work, you know. It's a whole world of inspiration. Celine, look, we're probably going to draw it to a close there. Is there anything that you need to draw listeners' attention to? Are you exhibiting, taking part in anything that folks can go to later in the year? Things on the radar?
Well, no, because I will go to Cairo now and do my little thing. But yeah, if someone of the listeners is in Berlin and would like to see the big cyanotypes I did, they are still exhibited in the bar that is called Butter and Corn. But you find that also on my Instagram page.
I wonder what that was. Oh, I see. So it's butter and.
Yeah, it's a bar.
Butter and KORN.
Corn, yeah. Yeah, corn, yeah. Actually, okay. It's alcohol. It's a very hard alcohol that we drink in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, next time we're in Berlin, it's a shame. I used to work for a German company, so I was always in Germany, but I didn't know you then.
Yeah.
Mainly Frankfurt and Hamburg. But my wife and I had a wonderful 4 or 5 days in Berlin a few years ago. So at some point we'll repeat that. So
well, yeah, let me know.
Yes, I can. You can take us to the butter and corn. It sounds fantastic. Celine, thank you so much for being a lovely guest and telling us about a bit more about your techniques and what you're up to. And as ever, people can go and see and visualize what Celine is up to, obscura_Berlin. And I guess if you're heading out to Berlin or Germany or even Paris, or you'd like to hook up with Celine in a collaborative way, I'm guessing you're always open to those discussions, aren't you, with folks about collaboration and working together?
Completely, yeah. Thank you for mentioning that, because that's true. Like, if anyone would like to do something together, I'm always happy to share and to learn, if it's in Cairo or Paris or Berlin. I can also come to Spain, or I can also, I'm very flexible. Just let me know. I will be there.
Sounds fantastic. Brilliant. Celine, thank you so much. Have a wonderful trip to Cairo. I'll leave you to, if you haven't already packed your bags, to get on with that.
Yeah, I have to now. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Yeah, as ever. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.